Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today, we welcome Scott Cooksey into the Cigar Lounge. Scott, how are you today?
Joe, fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. Great to see you again.
It is good to be here with you and sit back and chat this morning. Let's start off with the same question I like to begin with is just tell everybody at the Cigar Peg a little bit about what you do.
That's a question my parents have been asking me for all the time I've been in this crazy business. I don't think they ever understood what I do. I think if I had to describe what I call myself these days, Joe, is sort of a human performance strategist. And that's a fancy way of saying I help people be better at what they do. And okay. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. And do you have a niche market or are you just wherever they need you?
You know, a lot of what I do, Joe, kind of centers around coaching and workshops heavy in the leadership space. And so I've had a lot of experience from manufacturing, healthcare to oil and gas companies and kind of learned that leadership is leadership. But the beautiful thing about it is that I've worked long enough with those specific industries that I understand some of the nuances to really help connect that for the people that I'm working with.
Very good. Very good. And how long have you been doing this thing you're doing that your wife doesn't understand?
Well, my wife gets it. Well, sort of. She's just glad I finally figured out how to make money doing it.
I mean, your parents.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, I think I got in this space about 2009. Okay. Prior to that, I was in the financial services business. And it was the market crash of 08. It kind of was my third crash. And I said, you know what? I'm out. And I need something else that's a different roller coaster. So I got in the world of leadership development, consulting, and human performance strategist work. And it's been a roller coaster, but it's been a lot of fun.
Good. Good. As you say you left financial industries, how did you get into speaking? How did this occur? Where did this come from?
Yeah. So it's kind of a crazy story. When I was working as a financial advisor, I had my own independent practice for a bit. And there was this email that floated around that monster.com was looking for people to do assemblies in high schools. And people in my network started sending it to me. And I was like, where did this come from? I was like, I'm not doing this. And I was like, this is crazy. You know, you guys are nuts. And so I just kind of let it alone. And then a few months later, like, I don't know, 90 days later, it circulated around again and showed up again in my email box. I'm like, what is this? So I reached out to them. I said, all right, what's the deal? And they said, look, we need people that can go do assemblies for juniors and seniors in high school. And we'll pay you $100 a speech. Okay. I was like, sounds like a good part-time gig. But I had been, Joe, hanging out with professional speakers sort of casually on the outside for a number of years because I was curious about the business. And this became my entree to try it on.
Well, and then how did you find out, like, I mean, from doing this, I want to call it a dog and pony show.
It kind of was.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what they threw you into. To all of a sudden finding out, oh my God, I can become a professional speaker and change my world. How did that happen?
So I got into the game to say, all right, do I like doing this? And I learned about four programs that I went in and delivered again and again and again and again. I said, can I go in, do the same presentation over and over and over without getting bored? And I actually fell in love with it. When the financial markets crashed in 08, I was going through a lot of stuff. I was going through a divorce. I was trying to start a new financial practice. Life was crazy. And I was like, I just need a change of venue. And I said, I'm a victim of the academic calendar doing high school assemblies. But if I got on with one of these corporate training organizations, they would at least keep me busy. And so being unencumbered, okay. Right? I was a country music song, Joe. My dog had died. My wife had left me, you know, all kinds of things. And I said, I'm going to put myself on the road. And that's what I did. I hitched my wagon to a corporate training company. And I said, they're going to pay me little and try to burn me out. And I said, give it 2.5 years. And I did about 250 workshops in those 2.5 years.
So you really, you found your way onto what I would call the ladder to increase your, increase your exposure.
Yeah.
And you had to work for it. That's clear.
I absolutely did the work.
Who was there to support you when you were doing this?
That's a great question. Probably the credit, card company that got a lot of my business during that period of time. It was a rough go. As a financial advisor, I did everything I told my clients not to do. I spent all my money, and then I went deep into debt.
When I said support you, I'm laughing because what I really meant was, who was standing behind you? Was there anybody you could talk to? Anybody you knew that was telling you, this is real, do it?
No, I mean, Joe, I got in my head that I was in a situation that I wasn't happy with, and I just put my arms around it and said, you're the only guy that's going to make this better. You know, you can do something different. I think maybe, Joe, behind the scenes, there were some people from the National Speakers Association that I had met that were encouraging to me.
Okay. And that's what I was kind of wondering is, when did that exposure come along to help you get to the next step?
Somewhere in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, I think is when I was, I wasn't getting a lot of feedback from anywhere. So I found a Toastmasters group that would at least give you feedback if you gave a speech. And then I was hanging out with some people that were professional speakers because with that time we had a chapter here in Oklahoma where I live now, there was I just got this desire, and I said, I'm just going to find my community. And it took me a little bit.
Okay.
But,
did any mentors surface? Did any mentors or advisors surface?
Yeah, there were some people that were helpful.
Tell me, yeah.
Somewhere along the way, I got to know Darren LaCroix, who's a 2001 world champ of public speaking.
Yeah,
I met him through Toastmaster circles. For a while, he actually lived here in Tulsa, where I live, and we got to be friends. And he would let me go with him and like work his merch table or carry his briefcase and do what you want. There were some other NSA folks at the time, a woman named Christine Sexter, who was tremendous in just saying, look, just come with me, just come see what I do and come learn this business. And, those kind of people made a big difference for me. And then through that, I just kept meeting people. I met people like Dr. Jeffrey McGee. I met people like Jim Stovall and, others that are, kind of some folks that have done the work and gotten to know them. And, when I found myself in Houston in 2009, because I chased my wife down there when we were dating, I just decided I needed to meet people. So I went to an NSA meeting in Houston on a Saturday morning, and it happened to be a day they were doing something real interactive, like, what do you want to learn about the business? And I just threw my perspective in the room, and a gentleman by the name of Mike Lejeune came up to me afterwards, and he goes, I don't know who you are, but I like you. And Mike and I became very good friends.
Okay.
He asked me to follow him as president of the Houston chapter of NSA. So I did that and just met a great group of people while I was living in Houston for about 7 years and just kind of went from there.
What I want to say is, you moved on to become what you are now. I mean, you're not working for a place that's sending you out for $100 a pop.
No.
You're out doing the real work.
Yeah.
I think that what I want to ask you, and I usually ask people, what lessons have you learned, or what problem, but what myth is there in our business? And I'm sitting here going, with you got into it and learned that the speaking business is business.
Yeah.
How do you think that has set you apart from other speakers?
Hands down, my experience looking through the world first as I came into the business world as a banker, and then a trust officer, and then a financial advisor. So I have a finance degree, and I came into this knowing how to speak the language of business. And so what sets me apart when I'm working with clients talking about leadership is, it's not just, hey, here's a leadership concept, coach your people better. It's, I will often interject, Joe. It's like, look, you're running a commercial enterprise. I get it. Yeah. You have to make money or your business won't be here. Here's how you're going to do more of what you do. And so sort of the tagline for my business, Joe, is as we help get you in position to win. And it's like, that's what I do is I bring that business. I have the business chops. I understand the finances of how a business works. And then we overlay that with how do you build a team that allows you to drive the results you want?
But I think you also, and I guess where I was thinking is you also realized that the speaking business was a business from the word go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You didn't look at it and wait for some miracle to happen. You didn't sit back and say, oh, maybe someday I'll get discovered.
Yeah. And I've seen too many people do that. And I will tell you, here's another true fact, Joe, is I figured out pretty quickly that there are lots of ways to win in this business.
Oh yeah.
And as many people as are in it, there are that many different structures for how you put your business together. And at the end of the day, do what you want to do, build the business that you want. And, you know, I'll give you an example, Joe. Right now, my wife and I've got one child. She just turned 11. And one of my primary focuses is I want to be the best husband and father I can be. So when I lay out my calendar at the beginning of the year, I start with her academic calendar and go, when is she out for spring break, Thanksgiving break, Christmas, summer camp, those kind of things. And I immediately take those weeks off the calendar for being available for clients.
Nice.
Because I want to be around. And I said, I have to build the business around who I'm working for. Because I've seen too many people say, at the end, I'll be able to celebrate all this. I'm like, no, I'm going to have a party all the way through. And I'm going to have fun and do that. Because that's what makes it worth it for me.
Nope, absolutely. That is the way it should be. I think more people need to learn to put family first, but they don't. What is it that, and I hear family's important to you, but what is it that really motivates you to get up and keep going every day?
Oh man. I just like what I do. I like to meet people. I like to feel like I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world. When I have the opportunity to travel about or talk to people in different industries or even doing the remote work we've done over the last few years, like just getting lots of different perspectives. My wife calls me her know-it-all husband. And she says, you know, a little bit about a lot of things. And I was like, no, I don't know. But I know a lot about leadership, but I know how to apply it by learning about a lot of different industries. And being able to have just to own my schedule. I've never been somebody, Joe, that shied away from doing the work. And I understand that sometimes you have to do the work before you get paid. Yep. And not everybody gets that. And I said, I know I have a plan. I firmly believe in myself and where I'm going. And I'm always looking for partnerships, opportunities, and places that I can help make other people better. It's probably from early on, Joe, when I was a sales guy, I was a trust officer trying to, you know, sell 401k plans for a regional bank. And I would drive around with my Zig Ziglar cassettes in the car. And I think it just got ingrained in me that if you help other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. And, you know, that was sort of a version of that was Zig's main message. And he's right.
Well, as you say that, we won't mention that having Zig cassettes in your car dated you.
Yeah, well, I'm older than I look.
I know. I'm just saying we got to be careful on that. At least you didn't say Zig 8-tracks.
Well, that's true.
Is good.
It was a real bitch to put vinyl in the car, though. So, you know,
that's always been a difficulty. I wish they went for coffee makers first. So what would you say for you was the biggest failure that taught you something valuable?
Oh, man. I think it was not being smart with my money.
Okay.
Which was crushing for me, for a guy that came up studying and understanding money. Joe, I remember the day that I think I hit the hardest point in my life where I was by myself in a rented duplex and the credit card bills showed up and I opened them up. I looked at them. I saw the balance, the minimum payment due. All right. Snap your dog clicker there.
That's all right.
It was the day that I collapsed on the floor after opening these two credit card statements and looking at the minimum payments. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to do it. And everybody was telling me, look, man, you're in a bad spot. Just file bankruptcy and move on. And I said, nope, I got myself in this mess. I'm going to get myself out. And I spent the next 5 or 6 years paying all that money back.
Wow.
It was hard. It wasn't a lot of fun, but I will tell you the satisfaction that I got to be able to stand there at the end and say, I was in a bad spot. And because of the work I was willing to do, I got myself in a better place, has given me an eye for being able to focus on what's important. And now I make much more responsible decisions from a business perspective in how I run my business. And I think it's, Joe, when I flipped the switch and said, stop building yourself a job,
right?
And let's run this thing like a business. And, you know, coming off the best 2 years I've ever had in any business, at a time where a lot of people were struggling, because this last few years has been tough.
Oh yeah.
I'm proud of what I've been able to do
for you.
And I can do it with a clear head.
Well, you know, and I think sometimes I get, when someone admits, like, you notice, I keep coming back to how much work you put in, because so many people in this business, they forget the fact, they think they're just going to be a speaker. They don't realize it is a business.
Yeah.
It's a job. It's a commitment. It's a grind.
Yeah.
And I love that people like you just let people know it can happen, but you got to work for it.
Yeah.
What do you think for you, if you look at all of what you've done, what do you think you would have told yourself when you were in high school to do differently? So if you could address your little high school self and go,
right, take more chances early.
Okay.
You know, don't just always be safe and think it's going to work out. I was fortunate growing up. I never wanted for anything. I had whatever I needed. You know, we weren't extravagantly rich, but, you know, I was in a small town. My dad was a community bank president, you know, so people knew who we were, and, you know, things just kind of worked out for me. And it would, and I probably took that a little for granted, until I got knocked down a few pegs. And looking back, I was like, where did I feel like I grew up the most? It's probably in 2009 when I chased a girl I was dating to Houston and said, I need to go to the biggest place I can stand to live and just go somewhere completely new and figure it out. And I kind of found myself in Houston, which is weird. I never would have expected that. And then 7 years later, we moved back to Tulsa. Some circumstances kind of put that together. I'm here now, a different man than I was when I left.
It's growth. Good for you. Let me, as you go forward in this speaking business, what do you have planned for the future? Something, that you weren't thinking about ever doing, and all of a sudden there it is on your whiteboard or your vision board.
Yeah.
What's your newest idea for the coming year?
You know, I'm in another inflection point because I want to push to the next level. And a lot of the success that I've had has been through a number of partnerships that I've built along the way. You know, I have lots of different places where if I want to keep my calendar full and stay busy, I can do that. But what I've learned is that I really want to work more exclusively with a more limited number of clients, but I want to go deeper with them and just enjoy this part of the business. You know, I'm old enough now to have seen some stuff. I've, you know, got figured out how to make this commercially viable. As my wife would remind me, you know, you talk about doing the work, Joe. I think it was my 10th or 11th year in the business before I finally cracked that six-figure number. And then the following year I doubled it. And it's like, oh, this is how you run a business. And the funny thing is I pay myself the same today as I did at the beginning of that journey. So I have, you know, just learned, you know, stay humble, build the business that you want, and work with clients you want to. I've worked with some crappy clients over the years that didn't really want to make their businesses better. They were just checking a box.
Oh yeah.
And
absolutely. We all have had that.
I'm not on a quest to save the world, but I recognize Joe with you know, 10, 15 of the right clients that I can go deep with every year. I'll be able to take care of everything I want to take care of and have fun and really help some organizations get better.
I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and I'll phrase it for you, because I said, I'm tired of trying to achieve the six-figure income. I'm just looking for my six-figure clients.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you've got it, man. You know what? I'm telling you, from early on, Joe, everybody was like, how much is your fee? It's like, as much as you can ask for with a straight face.
Yeah.
They weren't lying. Right.
And I know.
And it's funny, because one day I woke up, and I've done a lot of work as a subcontractor for some of these seminar companies and these training companies. And,
yeah.
And listen, I'm grateful for all of that work, because it's, I've learned so much through that. And I still have some great relationships with some of those organizations, and still actively do work for them. But the day I woke up and realized I could bill my clients what I've been getting billed at, not what I had been getting paid as a subcontractor, that was eye-opening for me.
Yeah.
And I realized that you can 5X, even 10X what you've been getting paid, and clients don't blink because they've already been paying that money to somebody else. I just cut the middleman out, and guess what? Now I'm running a business that works.
Well, let me follow up on the 5X, 10X. If someone gave you 10 times the budget you have now,
oof,
what would you spend it on?
Man, that's a great question. I'm in a place right now where I think I want to build a presence where people who are really looking to solve specific issues are looking for somebody that can bring that. So I need to be visible, right? So I think I would invest a little more in probably video production. I think it would be fun. I mean, all right, let's 10X a budget. Let's have some fun, right? I'd love to have a destination place where, you know, people come into, you know, maybe a facility or, you know, a really nice conference center or something. And we do the, you know, roll your sleeves up, that they, you know, come to the lead out performance group compound or something. And we do something fun. I mean, if we're dreaming, let's dream big, right?
There you go.
And by the way, it'll be in a beautiful destination, either on a beach or in the mountains, or, you know, figure out a way to do both. Be awesome. And then when I retire, that's just a paid for place that I can go hang out with my friends and family and have a good time.
Nice. The retirement home built on tax deductions. What?
That's the dream, right?
I know, isn't it? I just say out loud what we're all thinking.
Hey.
So let me ask you the next question. So that was 10 times. Let's say someone gave you guaranteed income to fulfill your dreams. You don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
What other career would you be trying? Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Joe, for a long time, I've said I wanted to be a game show host. I think that would be fun.
There you go. I like that.
It's just nuts. You know, right? Why? Because I have a goofy sense of humor. I like to think I'm fairly quick on my feet. And I think it would just be fun.
I think it'd be a blast, actually.
Yeah. We should write a show, Joe.
I love that answer. You don't want to write shows with me. I've had two failures out there.
Well, good. You got them out of the way. That's more than I had.
So what do you think for you? And what personality strength, what part of you do you believe has made you who you are today, to yourself, your clients, your family? What's the one thing people cling to when it comes to you? What is it that keeps you there?
Personality trait.
Yeah.
I think I'm approachable and I'm real.
Good.
I walk in the room, and a lot of times at the beginning of a workshop, and people look at me and I was like, look, I'm capable of lecturing at you all day. I really don't want to. Let's just have a conversation. And within 10 minutes, that conversation starts, and people time and time again, Joe, have come away unsolicited and said, you are different than other people that have facilitated for us before. we like your style. You kept it light, but at the same time, you gave us depth. You gave us specific tactical things that we could do and take action on today. And, but you didn't preach at us. You know, you let us explore things we didn't understand. You gave us permission to ask questions and be curious. And, you know, you kept the energy up. And I was like, look, yes, not everybody can do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just end by saying, since this is Cigar Peg, people know you, but what's the best way for people in Cigar Peg to get a hold of you if they're saying, oh my God, I need a Scott Cooksey fix? Where do they go? What do they do?
Couple things that I'll throw out there, and I'm just gonna, it's kind of fun. First, you can go to the website, is leadoutperformancegroup.com. And that's a sort of a nod to the way a cycling team organizes to get their best rider in position to win at the end of a race by in the lead out group. So that's, we can talk more about that sometime. And I would say that people can, you know what, I'll offer this. Anybody that's listening to the podcast, you want to get on the phone with me, just go to connectwithcooksey.com and book 15 minutes on my calendar and let's get on the phone or a Zoom call and chat. I'd love to do it. I've made that offer to lots of people. Sometimes people take me up on it and, it's fun. Let's just have a conversation. And is that helpful for you?
No. Awesome. That way they can find you. I mean, you know, it's people listen and we just want to, I want to keep the Cigar Peg all connected now that we're getting through our podcast to hear from people we don't normally hear from. Yeah. So is there anything that's in your head that you said, oh my God, I hope Joe doesn't ask me this?
It was the one night in Tijuana when, no, I'm just kidding.
You know, Tijuana, tequila, they all start the same way, don't they?
Now, you know, I don't know, Joe. I'm pretty much an open book, man. I think this is part of it. I recognize that I think to be successful in this business, I mean, yeah, you have to promote yourself. Yes, you have to be willing to take some chances. But I think it's best if you stay a little humble. In this game, and just be you. Like, there's so many people in this business that they want you to believe there's something that they're not. And I'm going to tell you, your clients will see right through it. Your prospects see right through it. And it's like, you know, just show up and be you, but be curious, be confident, but know your stuff. And, you know, I mean, what would I want you to ask me about that would scare me? I don't know, Joe. There's not much that scares me anymore.
Well, you know what? You haven't answered the question, but you did provide some great advice for us to end this podcast on, which is
there you go.
Be you, be humble, because your client can see through it. What a great way to end, Scott. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Everybody, I want to thank you all for being here. And Scott, thank you, sir.
It's been a pleasure.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.